Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome to Expedition Self. I'm so glad you're here this week. And we are going to demote time today. We're going to give it a role, right? Which is why it's not getting fired, but we're taking away the power to lord over your life. So, I expect this to be an interesting show, and, I want to thank you for taking the time, creating the time to actually be here with me. Also, just as an aside, if you're wanting to stay with the live shows, you can go to samparado.com and sign up so that every week you get a prompt that'll remind you and a link, making it super duper easy just to show up and listen. Also, don't forget, it's a call-in show. I don't always get callers, but I'm certainly always inviting them. So the number is 202-570-7057. So I hope to hear from you in this hour. Well, I'm super excited, and I think I say this about a lot of the shows, but you know, I'm hoping that you will find yourself inspired, right, by the conversation that we're going to be in today. You know, this topic is, I think most people have a kind of habitual way of thinking about it, and really, if my hopes are met, my dreams are met today, I'm going to blow your conceptions of time out of the water. So, and when this happens, I'm thinking you're going to feel this incredible surge or a amount of personal power. Oh boy, did I pop that one. Flow through you so that tomorrow, for even one day, you won't feel like time is bullying you. And you'll have a sense of truly being at the source of your life, like free to invest and intend and choose how you'll make use of those breaths that you take every day, right? Did you know, I looked this up, that when we are in a calm state, we typically require 1.5 to 2 seconds to breathe in and 1.5 to 2 seconds to breathe out. So I just want you to think about this little morsel of data that I like added up. In a typical awake day, your awake time, you breathe 15 times in a minute and 900 times in an hour. I hope I calculated that right. And in an 8-hour stretch, you breathe 7,200 times. That is 7,200 choice moments that are yours to determine, and 7,200 opportunities to recognize over and over and have a second chance to see that you are the conductor of the day, not time. Yeah, I'm saying let's start looking at how we keep time through our breath, rather than through the clock or the numbers, because time has just gotten too much power. Okay, we're going to talk about that part later in the show, or at least it's going to get laced all the way through it. But first, I want to take a moment and share a conversation I had with a young person, a friend of my son's, this week. And it has to do with time, but it's a particular angle on it that we humans tend to do a lot of. So we were talking about life and how to work through difficult emotions. And he looked at me and he said, well, so what is growth work? So I described the process. I said, you know, going inside yourself and paying attention to the thoughts and the emotions and the physical body and the being self and the spirit places, spirit soul places. And then to connect to them through every minute of every hour, of every week, of every month, of every year of your life, so you can then connect with all of the unconscious places where you experienced something at one of those levels of self but didn't know it, right? So that any moment when you left, like I said this to him, right, when you left a piece of yourself is still awaiting your attention. And he said, yeah, but I hear a lot. Like everyone says, you know, just leave your past behind and look to the future, right? No need to like spend time in there. And then he said a little quieter, it feels, you know, sad when I go back to some of those moments. So why would I want to go back there? Well, that's the thing about time. It makes us believe that life is linear, that we are in some way linear, that we can think about the past or think about the future. And that's what's so. And that's where we are. But it's not the case. So this is where I want to start about this big boy time, right? It plays in our head, but it doesn't really dictate what's living in the body and the self. You can't leave the self behind and just look to the self of the future. You just can't. Because every moment, every breath of your life is stored in each cell and muscle membrane and joint, every one of them. And because of this, anything you haven't gotten to go back in and do more than think about it, it's still in there. It is shaping this moment and it's shaping the next one. You see, because thinking about something from our quote unquote so-called past and then having a feeling show up about it and then going on with the story, telling the story, it isn't the same as going into the entire self. You know, the thoughts and the feelings and the body, the being and the spirit soul self. And really exploring and mining and then opening to what's there. So this idea of leaving the past behind is a myth of the mind. Oh my gosh, I rhymed. I love it every time that happens. Okay, how did I say that? Yeah, this idea of leaving the past behind is a myth of the mind. And we use our beliefs about what time is to support this common method of what I'm going to describe as escape and avoidance from the self. Because somewhere along the way, we've bought into the idea. We believe it, that time is linear, that it rules all things, and that we, as human beings, are tied to time, meaning that the past is actually the past and the future is in some way disconnected from it. So another way to think of it is like trying to go forward with less of your cells or muscle tissue and joints. How hard would it be to move and engage in your life if you had half of the mass that you currently occupy, a few less joints, at heart that only beats at halftime? We're thinking about the self in an inorganic way and rendering ourselves less resourced inside of ourselves because of it. So this is the place we start. I'm going to make a declaration. Stop believing that yourself is operating on a linear path. Stop seeing it through the time lens and begin to take the past, the future, and the present, and circle it around this moment and see it all as one. See, this is the opportunity to recognize that every thought you have is a byproduct of every breath you've ever taken. Every thought you have is a byproduct of every breath you've ever taken. And you can unseat this chronological approach by instead focusing on what I call like a moment by moment kind of attention to self and your breath. And then riding on that, you can connect with the five parts of the self. I think 15 years ago, I called this momfom. It was kind of a funny made up word. I called moment by moment frame of mind. I made an acronym out of it. Yep. So you're free to play with that. You can write mom thumb on your refrigerator if it helps. So anything you can do to keep debunking the idea that what was then is not now and what is tomorrow is not yet. This is one of the keys to getting time off the podium, out of that power position, and taking your occupation of your own life back. Right? You have to debunk the idea that what was then is not now. And what is tomorrow is not yet, and bring it all into the present. Okay, so let's talk a bit more about what allows time to keep you hostage. And I am calling it hostage for a reason. And hold on to yourself because I'm going to say something that's really, really, I think it's intense. So, what allows time to keep you hostage? It's death. It's knowing that there actually is an end moment when your existence in this body on this plane is going to come to an end. And you know, for some of us, we live very present to it and have feelings about this inevitability. And for some of us, it works in the background. And we may not realize it's at play, and we're actually experiencing some unconscious connection to it. And so when that happens, time really, really has a grip on us. The reason death and time are so connected is because it's the only place where time actually is a real thing. It's the only moment, it's the only spot in our lives when breath stops and we don't have a sense that we're able to choose how we'll occupy that moment. So I know it probably sounds rather astonishing, you know, to hear me talk about it in this way, but I really want to get your attention so that you can see time more clearly. I want you to think about how much energy you spend allowing time to run the show, when really it doesn't run anything except the first and last breath you take. How much energy you spend allowing time to run the show. I don't have time to do this. I've got to hurry to get there. Well, I've got to get this done, and so I can't do this, so I don't know what's going to happen if I can't get this done in time. Right? The race, right? The race that we run. So this is probably a good place to actually take a breath. Right? I can feel the conversation pressing on me. Can you feel it in your chest or in your throat or in your shoulders? So, actually, I'm going to do one more breath. All right, here we are. So, let time have that moment that I described. But then be clear that everything in between is totally yours to do as you please with. And it isn't as finite as we believe it to be. I want to share one of the ways I work with this to give myself more freedom around it. I think about what I want to feel in that final breath, how I want to see my life, and what I'll be left with to process or come to grips with. And it helps me come out of what feels like a very finite moment with a ton, let me tell you, a ton of life to work with. You know, a place where who I am can shape and craft and create more fully. Because of that glimpse into that final breath. I saw Frank Ostasevsky speak a few years back at Wisdom 2.0, and one of the first questions he asked the audience as he stepped out onto the stage is, "What if you lived like you were dying?" And it was so profound because he began to show pictures of people, you know, in nearing the end of their lives. And I got to tell you, the vibrancy and the freedom they exuded, it was palpable to everyone. I mean, my heart just swelled. I know it wasn't just me. And it really fits what we're talking about. Because if you can put time in its place and attach it constantly to your last breath, then it really does open up the possibility of living without allowing time to steal your everyday breaths away. Right, to live more fully and freely. I'm going to take a moment here because I just want to tell you a little bit about Frank Ostasevsky. I hope I'm saying his name right. I always forget that. He's an American Buddhist teacher and a leader in the field of end-of-life care and the guiding teacher and founding director of the Zen Hospice Project in San Francisco. And an extra little tidbit you might find interesting about him, if you want to go check him out, is that AARP named him one of the most innovative people over 50. Right? That's cool, huh? Someone who actually studies this aspect of living, right, is seen as innovative, yeah. So, all right. So all of this is to say, time only controls one final breath of your life. You get to choose how you spend and create every other breath until you get there. You're not racing something. You're not, you're giving it away when you make it about time instead of about embodying your body, your thoughts, your feelings. So, okay, when we come back, we're going to go to the next piece of how to demote time, how to let time get in its appropriate spot so it stops running you and running roughshod over the top of the things that you are and want.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, we're back. And I'm Sam Parado, the host of Expedition Self, and we are always talking about ways to go inside and really connect with all of that amazing power and capacity and a possibility of your life. So I'm going to give you the phone number in case you're feeling like, ooh, I want to call in and talk about this subject. The number is 202-570-7057. So, okay. So far we've addressed that although time is linear, being with and inside of our bodies is not, and that time only has claimed the last breath we take. So now let's look at why you'd buy into the idea that time is linear and needing to be served in every minute, because let's be clear about anything we give our power away to. We bought something about it that made it true. That's why we live out of it. So I think we're scared, truly, truly scared to feel each and every sensation in response to what life is. I mean, really, it's so much easier to just, you know, follow the rope that time provides for us. You know, have you ever seen the beginners at ski slopes or the people that are taking lessons? There's this rope that they hold on to. Yes, I have done it, that pulls them up the hill for their next practice run. And so all they have to do is they point their skis in the right direction, up, and then the rope and the motor does all the rest for them. So there's a security about that, right? You don't even have to work it. It's just going to tug you along. So when we're scared, both either consciously or unconsciously, we seek security. We seek some place that's comfortable. And I don't think there's anything more secure, right? More dependable, more sure than time. Because it does actually show up and is dependable. The sun rises and then sets. The moon emerges, and it all marks the passing of time. The seasons change, and the leaves sprout and grow and morph into beautiful colors and then fall to the ground. Time is in play with all of this. So when we're scared of really being with ourselves in life, and remember, we may not be in touch with it fully. You may be thinking, Sam, you're kind of crazy. I don't think that's what's going on, right? Running our life through the time lens, it's a pretty secure way of getting through it. You can always go back to it. It's always there. You know how to relate to it or fight it. So right now, I would ask you to think about how you use time as a motivator, a driver. I don't have enough time, so I have to work faster. I'm late, so I can't really address this issue with my sister. Or we're so busy, I don't have time to really talk to this employee about what happened in the meeting. See, time is dictating how we do relationship and when we do it. And we use it to avoid the things that are hard or messy or confusing, or the places that we don't know how to feel about what's happening. And we're scared of all of that. Now, we're not in touch with being scared about it because guess what? We only are relating to time, and it's a very repetitive, I know what to expect. Yes, I feel, I suffer inside of time, but at least it's recognizable and I know it, right? At least I can deal with life because I have something that's predictable. Yeah. So I was in a conversation just yesterday. A company that I'm working with is they're trying to become more strategic in how they generate new work. And it's taken a long while to get aligned and bring people together so that they can actually gain the skills that are necessary to think in strategic ways. And then, of course, someone starts complaining about how much time it's taken. And then somebody else will say, we don't have that much time because we need to generate business now, which is not true, right? Because they've been doing it the same way for 40 years. Time just gets used as the dominant power, force, and source used to move people in some direction. So this fear I'm talking about, most of the time, we aren't aware that we're afraid of the messiness and disrupted flow of being with our whole selves. Because the mind annexes a whole lot of logical survival stuff with time. And then they become truly, truly an unbeatable force. And there's a lot of buy-in because we all have our own version of survival stuff. The whole, not having enough of anything. It's like when I just said, it's not true that we have to generate business now. You might have even in your head said, oh, I bet that's not true. I bet they do have to, right? Because every business has to do that. But really, we use this time thing to justify any version of avoidance or frustration or movement that we want to have happen that we can't just talk through it in the everyday relationships. So right now, I want you to imagine that the very thing that perpetuates you not being enough, and I feel like everybody's got some of this, some place where you don't feel like you're enough, is the idea that you don't have enough time. I'm going to say this again, so it really, really sinks in. Right? The very thing that has you feel like you're not enough in life is made more true, is exacerbated, is added to, because you relate to time as if there's not enough, which translates to then you are not enough. This is what we have to unseat. whenever we feel fear about being in the messy, unmanaged, unpredictable part of life, we're going to zero in on how time needs to be more managed and organized and put to use. I'm hoping you can see the contrast that I'm trying to show here. You know, we use this whole time thing to bring order to the experience of being human that is not orderly, right? To help us feel less afraid of the unknown nature of living in our lives and of taking each breath with intention and with our hearts. Have you ever been in a moment when you noticed you weren't really like taking a breath? Because I notice it. It's the fear of life at work. When we hear or experience a moment that's unsettling to us, we literally kind of hold our breath for like a little part of one of those 2 seconds of in-breath. This is why it matters so much to become a vigilant observer of your breath, because it will tell you when you encounter these moments, these places where life is messy and where you want to default to something you can control and make predictable by using time, T-I-M-E, to bring it all into line. You know, this is every body practice, every person who's working with helping you really embody your life and your sense of self, they're all talking about breath. It's a big word right now. And I'm hoping that you're seeing another reason to pay attention to your breath. Those 7,200 opportunities every day. Okay, so here's where we are. While time is chronological, our real human experience is not. The only moment when time really has a say about our lives is upon the last breath. And knowing this can have us really begin to step more fully into life and create more of what we want. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I see that we have a caller. Diane, would you like to talk to us about your relationship with time?
Yes, I would. This is a very interesting concept that you have offered up this afternoon. And some of the things that are going through my head is that a long time ago, I used to just make a list of things that I had to do. And it has grown to the point where I actually put times on it. Time when I think I should start, time when I think it might be over and I can start something else. My list, I feel like I am in control, that I'm going to accomplish something that day because I feel if I don't accomplish something, I am not, well, I'm not only not productive, but I'm not doing anything that makes me feel good inside, if that makes any sense, you know?
Totally.
Okay.
Does.
So, yeah. This is new, a new way to look at it because as I listened to you, I felt like time really is so important to me. I need to be on time. I need to do things on time. And I never related it. Well, actually, I was going to say I never related it to death. But reality is there's a whole bunch of things I want to get done before I say goodbye.
So, well, one of the things I was going to say is, so it's awesome that you are in touch with how big a deal time is. You know, that's number one. Number two is when I talked just now about being not enough and the messiness that would be visible or experienceable. That's not quite a word. If you didn't make your list and you didn't have start times and end times, you're really already in touch with the cork on that bottle. So and you get to say, okay, so it's probably true. I am scared of not scheduling every little thing and not worrying about time all the time. So sounds like you're right in sync with what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Except when I first tuned into you, I know you had a couple of things that you said that related to time really has a hold on you. And even to the young man that you were talking about, it was like for him to go back and try to remember. Sometimes those, you are in the middle of doing something, and it does stir up something that you've done before, and yet I don't take time to think about it, nor do I write it down so I can think about it later. So maybe you could give me a suggestion as to how I could handle that.
Well, I'll tell you, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about ways to partner with time. And so you'll probably hear some pieces in that piece, in that section.
Okay, super. All right.
Thank you so
much
for calling and sharing your experience.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, gosh, that's awesome. I think that when Diane described her experience, that's really one of the places that I found it too. I just felt like everywhere I turned, I was really feeling completely overpowered and consumed by my thoughts and understanding about time, which is how I got started really, really looking at the subject. And in fact, when I first started doing more organizational development consulting, the first thing I would do is go in and do time studies with people, talk about how they spent their time and why. So, all right, so let's go a little further. Time attaches itself to our fear and need for survival. And we buy into this, but we don't realize how afraid we really are to feel this messiness and unpredictability of life. As Diane talked about it, she talked about it doesn't make her feel good, right? So that's like the same thing, right? Time is a great rescuer in this way, because we use it as a motivation and a justification and as problem solving, right? It's bringing something to manage and order inside of a human experience that is anything but ordered and managed. Oh, and remember, we've said that not having enough time has a lot to do with the places where you feel like you're not enough. It's in this just moment, the producer of this show, Chris, he just did that. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Sorry, I couldn't help but sing a little of that. So, okay, so let's go a little further here. I'm sorry for that little commercial break. How do you use time to motivate yourself? And at what point does time become the bully, the authority, and the ruler of your thoughts and feelings and what you can and can't do? We're allowing time to run our show. So instead of working with it as a tool, one to create with and offer up more freedom, generally we use it to do just the opposite, right? You are the leader. Time is one of your elements you create from. It's one of the colors you place on your palette and one of the tools you build the structure with. It can't tell you what to do with it. It's only you who wields it or allows it to wield you. But I'm saying all the manage your time stuff out there is a bit of a red herring, because it has you get more controlling about what you do and when. And, you know, sure, that part has you get more conscious about where you're spending your time. That's awesome, because it's the beginning of really choosing and seeing. But the part that you now use it to corral and contain and demand that you meet deadlines in a non-collaborative way with the self, it isn't, right? Because now time is being used as the overseer of you. And the other thing that all this time management stuff doesn't have you look at is your actual power dynamic with time. So let's see. Let me see if I can describe this in a way that makes sense. When you place time in the lead over your every in-breath and out-breath and feeling the messiness of life, you create a power dynamic within yourself that some aspect has to rebel against, because we're meant to be fully expressed as a whole self. So when one aspect of who you are, like the I gotta succeed part or I gotta be productive part, gets to have more say than the part of you who loves to go for hikes and bike rides, then that part that likes to go for hikes and bike rides is gonna fight it and resist. And now you've got yourself a pretty active inner power dynamic, and bruises are not uncommon, because this is where we beat ourselves down and don't even realize it. Because time management is such an acceptable way to push ourselves around, and it's so valid and legitimate. So this idea of time management is an okay one if it illuminates and helps you see more clearly where this is happening. But it's not so great if you're only focused on getting more control and tighter hold on the messy parts of life that are beautiful, that produce ultimate like aliveness and joy that you have yet to see in yourself or allow to surface. The feelings, the body awareness, you know, what's happening at a being level within you, and what your spirit needs to exist in this very, very dense world we live in. Like, get your foot off of your head. That's how I think of it. But it's really not your foot. You've employed time's foot. You know, you can picture this, right? Get your foot off your head by demoting time and starting to embody and take over the space from a different place inside yourself. Okay, when we come back, we're going to dive in some more.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, well, we're back on Expedition Self, and I'm Sam Perotto, and we are talking about how to demote time today. So if we're going to focus on breath as the basis for being in life and moving through our days and nights, what will that produce? Well, you got to get ready for a very big download of new information, right? Because there's the lid has been time. So this data is going to include very tangible physical stuff like aches and pains and tension, and you're going to start to become hyper aware to your body's state when it feels like it's in alignment with itself and when it doesn't. You know, your jaw may hurt, or the instep of your right foot might cramp, right? And they're going to notice it, right? It's going to be right there. This is a whole lot of self-information that you may not know what to do with or how to perceive it or receive it, or what you're going to make it mean. So the key to getting time out of the leader's chair begins with you giving power to other aspects of yourself and to give them permission to make their way into your internal conversation and not have to know what to do with it all, because that's going to be part of your journey, how you discover more about yourself and life. You're going to find yourself doing anything to get out of the discomfort that this may cause. And that includes trying to figure out what it is and leave it behind. So when you start noticing the physical body, you're going to notice also more emotional material in smaller bites and doses. You know, perhaps your disappointment used to have to get like to a 5.0 on the scale for you to notice it. But now when it hits 3.5, it's going to be almost like tummy aching, right? Bug you big time. And so that means there's more emotion for you to download also. And if you're the type that really doesn't like messy and unpredictable, it's going to feel really disruptive. And you're going to try and use time to get it back under control. I don't have time to process this right now. I don't have the time to feel undone, so I'm going to table it. It's not that you can't table things, but you want to recognize what's at play there, right? Because the emotional material, it's going to be unexpected and seem disconnected totally. I just can't even stress this enough. You might feel like the level of emotional energy turning closer to the surface, and you might notice that past experiences and situations, anything from life that produces emotions, can begin to make itself known to you in really disconnected ways. Remember, I mentioned earlier, actually more than mentioned, that we are not linear beings. So when you get the linear big boss out of the lead, well, then your inner non-linear world is going to surface in really unrelated and illogical ways, because the psyche surfaces things as you open to them and can handle them. So it may start feeling overwhelming and unsteady, and you may feel agitation or as if you're like a bit out of sync. The minute you stop running your life by time, even a little, is the minute you're going to notice what's really running you through the emotional aspects of your being. The minute you stop running your life by time is the minute you're going to notice what's really running you through the emotional aspects of you. Remember, time has been at the reins for a very long time. So we want to set our expectations at reasonable levels. You're going to make contact and back away and make contact and forget, right? That's how it's supposed to go. So the other thing you can do is get a solid phrase and statement that helps you intercept the moments when time kind of has you hogtied. Like for me, I notice the words, I don't have time, right? So whenever I hear them come out of my mouth or run through my head, I pretty much know I've handed the lead over to time again. Maybe you can actually notice when you start to feel anxious about not making a deadline or something. This is a great way to launch an interference strike, you know, at time's hold on you. One of my favorite phrases when I recognize that I'm rushing or feeling like I don't have enough time, right, is to speak to myself, I have all of the time I need. And what that does is it reminds me I am the one who has time. Time doesn't have me. So we've addressed the additional data that's going to show up from the body and the emotional stuff that's going to make itself known, and then the intellectual disruption that you can cause by getting clear on the thoughts that go along with time when it's in the lead. So now the question has to be, how do you actually partner with time? We're not partnering with time when we use it to push and pull ourselves towards a goal, or berate ourselves for what we didn't accomplish or didn't do well enough. No, you know, that is not partnering. Partnering is all about working alongside some concept. It's about finding what's workable. And it's about utilizing time in such a way that it helps to surface the unconscious influencers, well, that's a mouthful, that are often at play beneath the surface. See, time has a wheelhouse, and it is to expose anything that's associated with our intention that doesn't have full alignment and buy-in. And this is true within ourselves, and it's definitely true with people we're sharing life with. So when we partner with time, we enter a kind of relationship that includes listening, brainstorming, problem solving, acknowledgement, and authenticity. Now, Diane, here's your how-tos, at least the bigger part of it. The listening has to do with all that self-information I just described, really noticing where your energy thrives and where it doesn't, and making room for emotional space rather than running over the top of it. Excuse me. Listening to what the whole self needs to make use of each breath. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. It also helps us understand where we're not bought into what we're doing, or we're doing it for a reason that diminishes our energy and our life force, because we should or are out of obligation rather than because our heart is truly good with it. So when we partner with time, we want to hear all of that, all of what in the traditional way of looking at time management would seem like excuses or unacceptable reasons for your lack of success. No, we want to hear it. You want to delve into it because it's invested in you living a more self-driven and heart-centered and purposeful life. See, listening is key to yourself. And time is no longer telling you you don't have time to listen. So you're left to be in full relationship with all that you can connect with inside of you, inside of the self. So I think we should take a breath. I don't know how many breaths have gone by. I should have calculated it. So I can say, look, we had all these opportunities to take breath. The next piece of partnering is brainstorming, right? What do I want? What do I want it to feel like? What parts of me would I need to connect with? How does my life reflect these things now? Right? This brainstorming, it comes out of really getting a clear sense of what is so right now for you and the dreams and the hopes and the wants that you hold inside and may have felt like they would have to wait until the right time. Or maybe you actually completely lost touch. You lost touch with what makes you happy. You lost touch with the places where there's joy. You've lost touch with what it is that you wanted to have happen in your life, right? It got overshadowed by that time thing. This brainstorming has a bit of a how, right? Like, how might I do this? And so this is where the problem-solving part of partnering with time comes in. How can I feel different about my work week? What can I add or take away from my activity that would serve me better, given what I'm now realizing is needed by my whole self? If I want to accomplish this thing by December, what can I bring to the experience now that I didn't think about before? How do I make room for emotional processing and downtime that I never did before? So we brainstorm and problem solve from a place of opening and making room for more of us, rather than trying to lock down on anything that gets in the way of getting to the end goal. We're seeking new solutions that are based on more of who we are, because we've told time, you don't get to run our lives any longer, right? And I'm ready to face those fears associated with my being human and all that. So the next part of partnering has to do with acknowledgement. The very idea that each and every action we take is one we choose. We don't have to do now. We know we're looking to show up for ourselves. Then we should definitely be acknowledging and appreciating everything about how it goes. We don't have to just appreciate ourselves when we reach a productivity goal, because what we appreciate instead is how we got there. You see, when time is in the mix, we tend to just focus on the outcome or the result. Part of that survival thinking I'm always referring to. But when you focus on breath, you start appreciating that you do breathe while you're actually breathing. You experience your past and your present and your future is happening in this very moment because you're in your body. And then you begin to listen and connect with your inner world in such a way that you start to include and validate more of who you are. You claim yourself. And that feels damn good. And of course, this is when you start realizing that you deserve acknowledgement for even getting out of bed, for wanting to find your deeper self, for being willing to feel this unruly and unpredictable stuff that comes along with being you. You acknowledge because you realize no one has to do it. No. They can keep letting time, and dare I throw in money, run their lives. So yeah, you definitely get kudos for being willing to find a place where your heart's running the show. And you definitely get extra bonus points for partnering with time, which means you're now partnering with yourself in a whole new way, and you're going to feel good enough in ways you haven't before. The last layer of partnering has to do with being and getting more authentic. Does it make sense to you that not listening to self, not connecting with breath, it limits the connection you can have to all the layers of your own truth? There's a part of you that would rather be doing something else right now, Are you willing to hear that truth and wonder where it's coming from? Why you decided to do what you're doing right now? Of course, right now you're listening to my radio show. Anyway, we have the opportunity to get more honest with ourselves. And ultimately, our lives in such a big way when we really partner with time. Because we can stop and feel ourselves have energy or not for something. And we can ask ourselves, what's going on? Or how am I feeling overpowered? And so the most important thing here is we can get very honest about how committed we are to something. What you're committed to, what matters to you, where you want to place your breath. You get to really align with your truth here. To stop doing the nice things or the responsible thing or the habitual thing, right? These time management programs, well, they get you half the way there. They also get you half of the payoff because they perpetuate this power that time has over your life and the way you use time to avoid life. So, okay, so there it is. I feel like we kind of set up this idea of what really has you thinking about and relating to time in a certain way, and then how your fear and unconscious fear is living beneath that. And if you start to unseat it, what are some of the steps that you can take or the pieces that you can look for to really help yourself get up and underneath that? So I found a poem. Oh, wait a minute. Did I finish saying what I wanted to? Oh, no, I had one more thing. So I wanted to say thank you for being here today and investing in yourself into the conversation. But the poem I found was from Henry Van Dyke. And it's one of his best known poems is titled Time Is. And it was the second section of the poem was actually read at the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales. It's also was inspired the song Time Is by the group It's a Beautiful Day on their 1969 debut album. So, okay, here it is. It's not too long. All right, here we go. Time is. Too slow for those who wait. Too slow for those who wait. Too swift for those who fear. Too long for those who grieve. Too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is not. Is that like the coolest poem? Okay, I'm going to read it one more time since we have a little time here at the end. Time is too slow for those who wait. Too swift for those who fear. Too long for those who grieve. And too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is not. I think the reason I love this poem so much is because what we're really talking about is how do you love yourself differently? How do you really get up and underneath the idea that you're utilizing time in a way that isn't loving for yourself? I have one more since we still have time. It's by Joyce Kilmer, who wrote the famous poem Trees, but this one's called Alarm Clocks. You might just like this. It's kind of fun. When dawn strides out to wake a dewy farm, across green fields and yellow hills of hay, the little twittering birds laugh in his way and poise triumphant on his shining arm. He bears a sword of flame, but not to harm the wakened life that feels his quickening sway and barnyard voices shrilling, "It is day!" Take by his grace a new and alien charm. So on that note, I will wish you a wonderful week. And I hope you'll return next week for our next segment of Going Inside on Expedition Self.